Those prayers this evening or this morning. I definitely want the Lord to bless the message this morning. It's one I hope you will find an encouragement in. I wrote the word perseverance on the board. Part of what I'd like to talk about today is, have any of y'all ever felt like you've gone through the same battle repeatedly? And you start wondering, well, Lord, am I just not learning? Am I just being thick-headed? Why is this something that I keep going through over and over and over again? I would like to encourage us that it is actually not, it may not be the same battle. You may think you're in the same battle. It may have all the look and feel of the same battle. But it may actually be more than what meets the eye. I'd like to start off in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. It says, "Lay not weight, a wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into his mischief." Now, you've probably heard that last verse before about a just man falls seven times and rises again, but I don't know if you've actually read it with the previous verse. It's actually part of that same proverb about lay not weight, a wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous, spoil not his resting place. And the picture of this verse is actually that the righteous man is being attacked by the wicked, and he may fall, he may suffer during the attack, but he gets up again, gets back to his resting place. Whereas if you look at what happens to the wicked man in this proverb, it says the wicked man shall fall into mischief. Now the word that they translate mischief there says falls into misery, wretchedness, comes to naught, is vexed with affliction and adversity. And so I was looking at this verse and thinking about that. I've had some things recently in my life, a battle that I guess you could say I've been fighting, it seems like, off and on my whole life. I had another battle. It seems like I'd gone 6-7 months. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I may have finally got that taken care of. And then another one of those battles show up. And I was just thinking, Lord, you know, what is going on? You know, I'm trying hard. I want to live for you. I feel like I'm doing everything I can. But this just seems to come along and every time seems to trip me up. I feel like I land flat on my face. And oh, by the way, I'm going to have to get him preached Sunday. But I don't even feel worthy of doing that right now because I feel like as far as falling, like as flat as you could get. Lord, what is going on? And the Lord, I feel like, sent me to this verse. And the more I got to thinking about it, the devil was going to attack us, folks. That is his, dare I say, job. When he came before the Lord in Job, and the Lord asked the devil what he'd been doing, what was Job's response? Well, I've been going up and down, walking throughout the earth, looking to see where I can stir up trouble. And I felt like the Lord started pointing out to me, the devil is going to attack us because he wants to get us discouraged. And he is going to, I'm going to call it sneak attack us if he can. Catch you out of the blue. And why would he try to catch us out of the blue? Do y'all have emotions? You know, the little things that flare up. Have you ever had a good morning going along and suddenly somebody cuts you off in traffic? And some mornings, somebody can do that to me, and if I'm having a good day and my emotions are on a high, I can slow right down and let them on in, and it doesn't bother me at all. But there's other days, somebody can cut me off in traffic, and I want to start mumbling and grumbling. And if I'm not careful, I'll find myself 5 minutes down the highway still pondering about what all that guy did and how bad it was. And it struck me. You know, the devil wants to get us to react with our emotions. But we have to be the righteous man, and when we find that, we have to go back to our resting place. So part of our Christian duty is to recognize when the devil's getting us off balance, we have to go look for God for encouragement. I had a man tell me a story one time. He worked in a prison system as a jailer. And he had an inmate come up to him one day. And inmates would come up if they had something happen. They felt like they'd been treated unfairly or things going on. And this day, this particular inmate came up. And I don't remember the situation, but he said that inmate was hot. Just going off and just hollering at him. And he's trying to figure out, what am I going to do with this upset inmate? I don't want to have an issue. And he said, so the louder the inmate raised his voice, the softer he responded. Till finally the inmate said, look, you've got to speak up. I can't hear you. And the jailer said, well, if you will lower your voice, I will raise mine. And the inmate lowered his voice, and by lowering the voice, some of the tension went out, and they were able to solve the guy's problem. And the jailer that was telling me the story, he said one of his co-workers had asked him, how did you think to do that? Because I thought that situation was going to get out of control. And the jailer said, I didn't think to do that. That was the good Lord. The good Lord had helped him to find his resting spot in the middle of that attack. And by going there, he was able to handle it. And he said it because he goes, that wasn't necessarily his normal way of handling being verbally attacked by an inmate, was to just get all real quiet and calm. But the Lord can do that for us. And just thinking about that, how often do you think that jailer had ever been attacked verbally by inmates? You know, if you get attacked long enough, you can get habitual in how you respond. Not that it's right or wrong, but I mean, you just get used to that. One of the things I'd like for us to look at next is in Job. Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5 and looking at verses 17 through 19. Behold, happy is a man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven, there shall no evil touch thee. Now I was thinking about this verse, this series of verses. So the Lord sometimes will chasten us, and we're to be happy with that. But then it goes on and talks about some of the things that's liable to be part of that chastening. You're going to be made sore. But then the Lord's going to bind up the sore spot. You're liable to be wounded. But then the Lord's going to heal you. And there in verse 19, he shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven, there shall no evil touch thee. I look at that and I feel like the Lord was saying that, yes, you're going to go through trials, you're going to go through difficulties, you may go through it repeatedly. But if you will stay true, you will find at the end no evil is going to touch you. And as I was thinking about it, I got to thinking about the potter and clay. And you know, when a potter starts working clay, if you've ever watched it, we've heard them talk about beating a lump, and then they form it and they shape it. But you know, there's some other things that happen to the clay after it's shaped. It has to be dried out so they can fire it. Now, they have special ovens for drying it out. But if it goes into the oven, it's going in, it's going to get heated up. And the idea is it needs to be heated up to the point that all of the water is out of the clay. Then it's taken out and it's allowed to cool. But then it's put back into the fire. Why? Didn't it just get dried out? Why does it have to go back through the fire? Well, because now it's time to, that now that the water's out, now it's time to heat it up and actually start melting the little particles inside the clay together so it'll become porcelain or ceramic. And they fire it, and that solidifies it and hardens it even more. And they take it out. And they may put it in the firing furnace again, because you know there's this thing called glazing. Glazing is where they start putting decorations on. And as they work the glaze, they may put some glaze on in a certain pattern and put it back in, and they may fire it at one temperature. And then when that's fired, they pull it out and let it cool. But they still may not be done. They may turn around and put what appears to be the same glaze back on that piece of ceramic and fire it now at a completely different temperature. Why? What's going on here? If you were that piece of ceramic, you may feel like, I'm going through the same battle. I keep being put in the furnace, and I'd rather get out of this thing. But do you know some of those glazes, depending upon the temperature you fire it to, it changes colors? It may be one color at 1700 degrees and a completely different color at 1900 degrees. And depending upon what is being done to that piece of ceramic, it may go in and out of that fire multiple times. Have we ever felt like we're going in and out of the fire multiple times and we just don't know why? As far as you can tell, you've been in that same spot, because guess what? You're put in the same kiln. You're going to go into that same kiln and you're like, I've been here before. It's hot in here. I don't want to be here. And then the fire comes. And then you're cooled down and you're taken out and you're thinking, oh boy, I'm glad that's over with. And the Lord decorates you a little more, and then guess what? You see that kiln coming at you again. You're like, but Lord, do I have to? He puts you back in there and he brings the heat up again. You know, sometimes our trials are not really because we're failures. Our trials are because the Lord is trying to work with us. He's trying to make us into something decorated to a purpose. When they fire clay, it adds certain properties to it. Sometimes it'll make it waterproof. It makes it more resilient, depending upon the temperatures. It'll make it tough to where it won't break as easy. Same thing is with iron. If you were a knife, so to speak, and somebody's forging you, if you think about the forging part of a knife, you're stuck in the fire till it reaches a certain temperature, then you're pulled out, and they start forging, and then they're back in the fire, and then back out, and some more forging, and back in the fire, and that goes on repeatedly. And if you think of yourself as a knife, ever wonder why you keep going back in the fire? Is it because you did something wrong? No. It's because for the metal to be worked in a way that doesn't destroy its properties, it has to be maintained within a certain temperature range. So you may be going back into that fire, not because you're messed up or a failure, but because the Lord says, okay, for me to continue working in His life, I need to heat it back up again. I need to put a little more heat on it, get it pliable again. And then eventually, you'll be taken out, it'll be cooled down, and shape to the final shape, a little grinding, some polishing, and you're done, right? Won't see the fire again. The correct answer is no, you will see the fire again. Because now comes the tempering and the hardening process. And for a knife, they'll actually take and they may heat certain parts of the knife to some temperature and cool it down and quench it, and then heat another part of the knife, cool it down and quench it. And the whole time this knife is going in and out of the fire, in and out of the fire. And I felt like the Lord let me know that when He works with us, He's working on us. He's pulling us in and out of that fire, not because we're failures, not because we don't have things to improve. We do have things to improve on. That's why He's working us. But because He's trying to make us into something beautiful, something useful, something that can be a tool of use, one that won't break easily, one that'll last. One of the things that also came to my mind, and I want to go down to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 20, says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." And thinking about what the Lord had kind of shared with me about the going in and out of the fire. And looking here at these verses, wouldn't we want our vile bodies to be fixed like the Lord's heavenly body? Don't we want Him to work with us to prepare us for heaven, to allow us to get to heaven? Isn't that worth going through a few trials, dealing with some things? And also thinking there in that verse 21, whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Don't we want to have the ability to subdue the things that are bothering us? You know, sometimes to subdue things, it may sound funny, but sometimes the first thing you have to do is learn to get humble. Some of the things I deal with at work is dealing with people. And when somebody brings up an issue and they're emotional and they're angry and they're upset, just like the jailer did, if you respond quickly and sharply back, you're liable to find that you make no headway with that person at all. You can't resolve the issue. They will set their mind and you're just stuck. You can't overcome the issue at that point, no matter what you do. You'll have to go get somebody else to work with them. But if we're willing to let the Lord beat on us, if you will, to heat us up, and if we're willing to stay humble and pliable in His hands, you know, sooner or later, I've been looking back at the one item that I struggled with. I was like, well, Lord, come to think of it, while I did kind of trip up, it has been 6 months since that has even been a issue in my mind at all. And before, it seemed like it was a daily occurrence. But it had gone a while that the devil hadn't been able to get me flustered in that area. And so I would challenge all of us, if you're finding that you're going in and out of trials, start considering, not so much that you're in and out of the trial, but are you seeing progress? Are you seeing changes in your life? Yeah, you may have fallen, but when was the last time you fell that way? How many miles down the road of life, if you want to think of it that way, was it since the last time you fell like that? Look for what the Lord's doing in your life. Look for the marks that He's leaving on your life. And you might find that, you know, it's not as discouraging a day as you think it could be. Because in my case, at the end of the day, after talking to the Lord and having Him kind of show me where I was in relation to where I had been, am I where He wants me to be in that particular scenario? I would say no. I will probably see the fire again. But, good Lord willing, it'll be even further down the road. That I won't have to continue to necessarily go through it as often. I will say with a caveat that sometimes the things in our life, though, are there because we allowed them to be there. The Jewish children, when they went into the Promised Land, they did not get rid of everything in their lives like they should have at the start. And so the Lord told them, because you didn't, these things will be a constant battle for you. These things are going to be there to try you. And the Lord has pointed out, there are things in my life, some things that He's brought to my mind, and it seems like as soon as He brings it to my mind, we address it, and I never struggle with that thing again. But then there's these other things that comes to my mind, and I seem to battle with. And the Lord did point out in some of them, it's because when I first started dealing with them, I wasn't willing to deal with them the way He wanted. He has given me grace in some of those areas. He's given me improved ability to deal with them, but He's also let me know in some areas, you're going to be tested again. Because you've got to make sure that you're keeping it where it needs to be. We all need to be willing to submit to the work of the Lord in our lives. Make sure we're standing firm, that we're not willing to give up because we keep thinking we're going through the same trial. You may be in that same furnace. It may feel the exact same way you were in there last time. In fact, it may feel even hotter because He's turning the temperature up to a different degree because He's trying to set a different color in your life. But just keep in mind, He's working in our lives for good. He can take those things and use us to get us back into our resting place. Y'all pray for me.